by all means, feed them, clothe them, put sandals on their charcoal broiled feet, help them pick their pineapples, facilitate the pressing of their mangoes, teach their children to read, and weave them wicker furniture. Yes, I am all for this, but do not take your so-called gospel to third world countries, because the people in these third world countries are better off worshiping eucalyptus leaves and eating beetle larvae than hearing of the false God who will love them only if they love him back, and of the false Christ whose death was worthless apart from human faith. Hi everyone, Martin Zender here, coming to you from my undisclosed location high atop the post office, across from the bank, down the road from the library. And no, I haven't gotten my grapes yet today at the grocery store, but I will do that after this show. I'd like to thank Jeannie for writing me. She asked this pregnant question. This question is about to have a baby. It's parturient. Before I get to the question, I got to quote Jeannie from the first paragraph of her letter. Well, I won't quote her. I'll paraphrase her. For her birthday, her last birthday, her father, now this is a caring father. This is a father who's concerned for the spiritual welfare of his daughter. This touches my heart deeply. Her father gave her a copy of the Concordant Literal New Testament, which is the most accurate translation in the world, and a copy of my book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell. God bless you, sir. Jeannie says that the revelation came when she realized that Jesus was speaking to the Jews. She said she hit her forehead even, slapped her forehead, said, duh, I'm quoting her there, duh, and everything started to make sense to her from that day forward. Thank God. I'm just a messenger. You know, they say don't shoot the messenger. Well, don't overthink the messenger either. You can thank him, but thank God, because he's bringing light and revelation to people today who are looking into the scriptures for themselves, not trusting everything their pastors say, and reading what their wise fathers give them. Thank you, Jeannie. She says, quote, so now that we know the truth, what is our purpose here on earth? Do you believe missionaries are wasting their time? Well, missionaries are totally wasting their time as evangelists. As I said, I'm all for them helping people in third world countries live better lives, but that help ends when you start telling them that unless you believe in Jesus today, you're going to go to hell for eternity. They're trading their eucalyptus tree, which is a benign thing. They're worshiping the eucalyptus tree or the sun. Whatever they're worshiping is fairly benign, unless you spend too much time in the sun or look directly at it, then it's not. But they're better off doing that than hearing of the God of conditional love, the God of Christendom, who will torment you, do worse to you than the sun has ever done to anyone. Well, they're better off not hearing that. So as evangelists, they're failures and is a total waste of time. So I'm all, like I say, build them thatched huts, teach them how to fish, but stay with what you know, and you don't know the evangel. What's one of the qualifications for being an evangelist? This should be an easy question to answer. The first thing you should have lined up is to know the evangel, but these people don't know the evangel. If you're thinking of traveling to Africa or Asia to teach the evangel, I have a strong recommendation to you. Find out what it is. I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Here's the evangel. You ready? You may have never heard this before. 2 Corinthians 5:18, yet all is of God, who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. How that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them, and placing in us the word of the conciliation. This word conciliation is pretty big in this verse. It means that God is now on friendly terms with the world. He's not reckoning offenses to you. And he used Christ. Christ was the agent by which God conciliated himself to the world. This is the opposite message going forth today from Christianity and these missionaries. In fact, you want to hear how opposite it is? According to Paul here, writing to the Corinthians, God's giving us the dispensation of the conciliation, how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. They say that God was in Christ drawing a line in the sand. Christ becomes the line in the sand. If you believe in him, you're going to be all right. If you don't believe in him, you're going to go to hell for eternity. I've seen that in church signs. On church signs these days, Christ is this fork in the road, and he's a challenge. No, Christ is the means by which God is now at friendship with the world. So different than a God who's just waiting to see what you're going to decide before he demolishes you. And then, not reckoning their offenses to them. God is no longer reckoning the offenses of the world. This is what you go tell the guy with the bone in his nose. God is at friendship with you. No matter what you do, he's now on friendly terms with you because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, you want that heathen to believe that so that he'll come into a realization of it and it'll have a practical effect in his life. Somebody who has $1 million deposited in their bank account, they're rich. They don't know it unless you tell them. I tell this guy, you're rich, man. You're now, God is at friends with you, and he's not reckoning your sins to you. This is far, far, far away from the, quote, gospel. The missionaries are taking them. This is where they're taken to them today. This is where they start you. You're a sinner, bone nose. You are a sinner, sir. And you better believe in Jesus now, or you're going to go to hell. That is not the gospel. That's a challenge to the human to work up the faith. I say, sir, you go back to your eucalyptus leaf, because you're going to have better luck over there. This is horrible. You're making these people's lives worse than they were before. They were at peace worshiping the sun, worshiping the eucalyptus leaf. If you're going to go thousands of miles to a foreign country, drag your poor kids over there, make them eat rice 7 days a week, make them sleep with cockroaches, then you better make sure you're taking them the truth. I got to tell you this. I saw a van one time at a Christian Missionary and Alliance Church. These people think they've arrived because today, if you're a missionary, it's the greatest thing you could possibly do for God. It's the ultimate call, the ultimate self-sacrificing thing to take your kids to live in a hammock and eat rice. I feel sorry for these kids. I really do. But anyway, there was a van parked at this church, and it said, the Vanguard. We are the, I don't know if it had to do with the fact that it was a van. You think it did? Yeah, probably. We're on the vanguard of truth, something like that. I just thought, oh, how audacious to think that you're widening the scope of Christ. No, actually, you're just spreading the apostasy to new shores. You're taking the falsehood and spreading it abroad, just like the Pharisees did. Jesus said, you Pharisees go far and wide trying to make disciples, and you end up making them twice the sons of Gehenna as you are. Vanguard, I looked it up in the dictionary. It's the front part of the army. You know who's the front part of the army today? You're never going to believe it. I'm going to tell you, though. Be here tomorrow. I'm Martin Zender. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you. See you tomorrow. Zender here, and welcome to Tone It Down Tuesday. On Tone It Down Tuesday, I attempt to talk slower and to massage my own neck and my temples and try to relax a little bit behind the microphone here at my undisclosed location. I thank you, Jeannie, for your email, for your good questions, and I'm going to deal with the first part of your question there. What is our purpose? I think you asked that on the heels of realizing that all creation, in fact, will return to God at the consummation. After God is finished with his plan of the ages or plan of the eons, people seem to think that, well, since it's all wrapped up, why should I do anything? I'm not saying you're saying this, Jeannie. You're coming off the Orthodox mindset. where it all depends on what you do, and if you don't talk to people, they're going to get damned. You're finally resting on the heels of the revelation you received. You're now resting in God, and you're enjoying that. But at the same time, I have no doubt you're feeling just a little bit guilty. Aren't I supposed to be doing something? Here's the question I get. Again, you're not saying this, Jeannie, but boy, have I heard it many times. Well, since everybody's going to be saved, why preach the gospel? Well, that everyone is going to be saved is the gospel. That's like saying, since the U.S. hockey team just beat the Russians, why tell anybody? Boy, you really get insight into the person's mind, the person who asks this question. They really expose themselves. What these people are saying by asking this question is that, you know, in order to make this exciting for me, in order for me to be interested in preaching the gospel, I have to be some kind of small g God here that's either making or breaking people's eternal destiny. That's what makes it exciting. They don't see themselves as the bringer of incredibly good news. God is conciliated to the world. Isn't that great? That somehow takes the excitement out of it for them. Why preach? Can I use myself for an example here? I've known this truth for 18 years now, and I have been teaching full-time for 11 years. This has not made my motivation wane. It has given me a purpose to teach, to give people this incredible news that it's not up to you. It's something that God already did. Going back to 2 Corinthians 5:18, where I took you yesterday. God is conciliated to you through Christ. He is not reckoning your offenses to you, not even the offense of unbelief. You are saved for eternity because of Christ's work. Now, what's your response to that? You see how it turns the whole thing around? I present folks with a fact. Here's the fact. You're saved. Now, what's your reaction to that? And most of the time, the action is belief. Well, since this is true, what can I do but believe it? How different than presenting the gospel as something that could be true only if you believe it. You see, the false gospel is not presented as a fact. The only fact is that you're on probation. God is waiting to see what you're going to do. It's almost like The Price is Right. They show you this new car or this trip to Hawaii. All this can be yours if The Price is Right. Who's on the vanguard today? Where is the leading edge of God's army? Well, it's a revolution, and it's happening where you do not expect it to be happening. It's happening at kitchen tables. It's happening at small gatherings where the scriptures are present and a concordance is present. It's happening among people who are coming to a realization of who God is. There's no trumpet sounding before these people. Here's the vanguard. No, there are no bold words written across their vehicles. It's a quiet realization of who God is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, on hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of Him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. This is what happened to you, Jeannie. The eyes of your heart were enlightened. You saw a more glorious God. Paul goes on, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive what is the expectation of His calling. These people who are coming to this realization, these are the vanguard of God's army happening among you today. More on this tomorrow. Thank you for being with me. I remain yours, Martin Zender, and we'll see you tomorrow. we were, ladies and gentlemen, at the kitchen table at my friend's house, my friend Matt, with his sister Marion. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender here. Had a pot of coffee gurgling in the background. It was a little tense. We were attempting to introduce to Matt's sister Marion the truth of God's control over the world, his use of both good and evil. I was doing most of the talking. Matt was nervously stirring cream into his coffee. I was bringing Isaiah 45, verse 7 to the table. Marion, look, it says here that I am Yahweh Elohim, maker of light, creator of darkness, maker of good, creator of evil. I do all these things. Silence. Oh, except for this. Marion sighed and said, I'm sorry, I just can't accept that. I can't see it. It's just not happening for me. I went on. Marion, see how God uses evil, how he's eventually going to bring good from it. Went to some verses in the Greek scriptures to show God's plan, God's goal. Nothing. Remember Yukon Cornelius on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? He throws his pick up in the air. It lands in the snow. He picks it up and tastes it. Nothing. So even I, given up at that point, I sat back, took up my coffee mug, but you didn't hear this from me. No, I drink it black. You know that. Several minutes passed. They were probably seconds, but they seemed like minutes. Matt and I were just sitting there dejectedly. Then, as Marion was staring at her Bible, she suddenly looked up and said, "Oh, I get it." Friends, those were the four most spiritual words I have ever heard. Not speaking in tongues at a large Pentecostal church, not the mantra-like swooning of, "I praise you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus." No, but intelligent, purposeful words after looking at the scriptures, "Oh, I get it." Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "Therefore we also, from the day on which we hear, do not cease praying for you and requesting that you may be filled full with the realization of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." All wisdom and spiritual understanding. "You to walk worthily of the Lord for all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work." Look at this. This is really revolutionary. We bear fruit only in relation to the measure of our spiritual understanding. Appreciate how different this is from what you have been told. You have been told that unless you walk in a right way, unless you behave yourself and be a good boy or a good girl, then God is not going to bless you. He's not going to invite you into the storehouses of his wisdom. That is not the case. It's the opposite of the truth, as you would expect from a church. The truth is that as we come more and more to realize who God is, as we grow in the realization of him and come to a spiritual understanding by reading critically, by getting out the concordance and analyzing God's words, doesn't sound very spiritual. I know this. It's not going to make Christian television. Coming to a realization of God's will does not make good TV. Marion saying, "Oh, I get it." It would be boring television. Nobody's going to watch that. But that is the vanguard. That's what God is doing today with his people. And it's only as we come to a realization of this that we bear fruit. Interesting that Paul uses the analogy of fruit. It's just like in nature, the tree with the most light bears the greatest fruit. And so we quietly sit at his feet. Doesn't look like we're doing anything. We're not out there like the so-called Christian soldiers trying to save the world for God. Rather, we're quietly gathering with other people of like mind, searching the scriptures, finding out what God is doing. And only when we find out what He is doing can we, with any fitness whatsoever, take that word out to people. There's people who have zeal without knowledge. Speaking of missionaries, zeal without recognition is how Paul says it. Listen to this. Paul speaking in Romans 10:2 concerning the Jews. Wow, let's go to verse 1. Indeed, brethren, the delight of my heart and my petition to God for their sake is for salvation. For I am testifying to them that they have a zeal of God, but not in accord with recognition. Zeal without recognition is useless. Zeal must accord with recognition. And in order to recognize, we must sit and listen and study critically. I know it doesn't sound spiritual, but it is. Grow in the grace and realization of God. If God can use me to help you along this line, to help show you where these scriptures are that maybe you've never seen before, then I thank God for that. And but I want you to thank Him. You're on the vanguard. I'm going to give you more verses tomorrow on the light before fruit principle. It works in nature. It works in the spiritual world. The saint with the most light produces the most fruit. I'm Martin Zender. See you tomorrow. I kind of like rock and roll.
Light before fruit.
Oh, come on.
Light
don't
before
do,
fruit.
Please don't play that.
I'll provide the beat. And if somebody out there wants to provide the lyrics, because I'm not too darn good at that. Light before fruit, that's not too great.
Yeah.
Somebody out there can do better. Help me. Write me. Send me an email. This is Martin Zender.
You can turn it off.
Believe in God no matter what the clergy say. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, thanks. That's what I ended my show yesterday with, that little tidbit, Light Before Fruit. I decided not to play it. My crew decided that it would be a wonderful way to start today's show. Humiliating way, anyway. Although I did used to be a drummer. I don't know if you knew this. I used to play drums for a living. Played in a little pop band back in the... I play my coffee mug, too. I have it sitting here as a prop. And hey, the spoon works pretty good there, too. Let me try this. Let me bring my Bible into the mix. Do you mind? Good, you don't mind. Okay. All right, I'm a little rusty. Sorry about that. Martin Zender here from high atop the post office at my undisclosed location. I haven't got my grapes yet today. I have a big free will choice to make when I get there. They have green grapes and red grapes. And of course, it's up to me to decide which ones to pick. You know what I do? I end up doing what everyone does. I yield to the strongest influence. Sometimes that influences the price, because sometimes the green grapes cost more than the red grapes. Sometimes the red grapes look rotten, I get the green grapes. Sometimes I feel like eating healthier, and red grapes are healthier than green grapes, something with the color. Anyway, of course I'm joking, it's not my free will. I yield to the strongest influence, and guess who the ultimate influencer is? It's God. I'm not going to talk about free will today. I'm going to talk about light before fruit. Let's go to 2 Peter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. So has all of His divine power that tends to life and devoutness been presented to us through the recognition of him who calls us. Through. No, I like it the way I said it the first time. Through the recognition of him who calls us. Everybody wants divine power these days. And this is the stuff that makes good Christian television. People want to see bones healed. People want to see the lame walk. But that is not the highest manifestation of God's power today. A lot of it is false anyway. A lot of it is Satan's imitation of the true. Hold on! I'm not denying that God works miracles today. He does. But a lot of this stuff that comes to you via Christian television is false. And Satan is really good at imitating the truth. That's how he deceives people. Besides, I always wondered this. I used to see signs, Holy Spirit Revival, 7 p.m., well, I hope the Holy Spirit has a watch and shows up at 7. How do you know when the Holy Spirit's going to revive things? When our boys, our 12 disciples, were sitting in that upper room, they didn't know when the Spirit was going to come. They were playing cards, waiting for something to happen, and bang, it hit them. The Spirit came in flames of fire. They didn't know it was going to happen at 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. Revival, 7 p.m. Whenever you see a sign that says, Revival at 7 p.m., be assured that it's a man that decided that revival should come at 7 p.m., and you're not going to find a legitimate revival there at 7 p.m. The revivals happen, as happened with me, at my friend Matt's house, at kitchen tables across America, with coffee and tea and thee. That's 2 Peter 1:3. Now, let's go to 2 Peter 2:20. Did you get that? I want to make sure you understood that. All of his divine power that tends to life and devoutness presented through the recognition of him. You come to a recognition of him, then comes the life and devoutness and divine power. But it's going to be a controlled power. It's not going to be a praise you, Jesus. It's not going to be a rabid power. It's not going to be a power that preaches like a Baptist. It's not going to be this kind of power. When I talk like this, people think the anointing has come upon me. Martin Sinner's got the anointing. He's talking like a preacher. He's got God. God is in Martin Sinner because he's talking like an idiot. And this way we know that the Spirit has descended on Martin Sinner. I'm afraid not. Divine power is controlled, it's intelligent, and it starts with, oh, I get it. 2 Peter 2:20. For if, while fleeing from the defilements of the world by the recognition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm going to stop right there. If, while fleeing from the defilements of the world by the recognition of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't that great? Verifies what Peter said before. Everybody wants to flee the defilements of the world, but they try to do that without coming to a mature understanding of their sin, that it's no longer reckoned to them, that Jesus took away their sin, that God is in control. Until you realize these things, you're not even going to have a desire to walk worthily. You're going to think that you have to, or God's going to pull the rug out from under you or crush you under his foot. That's not true. So until you come to a right understanding of God, you're not going to live a devout life legitimately. It's going to be out of fear, which is no good, doesn't count. You want to start your walk on the right ground. And the right ground is realizing who God is. And I'm going to give you Ephesians before I leave here today. I'm going to give you Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. And to just prove that to you, I'm going to go there right now. Ephesians 5, verse 9. Here's the analogy again of light and fruit. I love this. As children of light, be walking. For, there we go again. For, love those fours. Whenever you see a four in the scriptures, it means you really need to pay attention to what went before it. Because he's basing his next statement on the previous statement. As children of light, be walking. For, the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So the only reason you're going to be walking as children of light is if you're exposed to the light. Because without the light, there is no fruit. And the saint with the most light has the most fruit. So try to shine the light, and then you'll have the fruit. If you don't have the light, you won't have the fruit, and you might end up being a fruit loop. But if you study God's word carefully and come to a realization of the truth, chances are good that you're going to be sane. I'm Martin Sinner.
believe in God no matter what I say. I mean, no matter what the clergy say. See you tomorrow. Don't you think that Jesus, when he hung out with his friends, drank coffee? I just love to imagine Jesus hanging out at a table, leaned back, relaxed, at the home of Martha and Mary, for instance, and Lazarus. Those, all three of them were related. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, brother, sister. Jesus, go there, hang out, kick his sandals off, kick back. Here comes Martha, of course. She's the one that would have had the coffee brewing, and I like to believe that Jesus would have drank his coffee black. So Lazarus probably takes cream. Lazarus is stirring up his coffee. Of course, it'd be an earthenware vessel. It probably wouldn't sound like mine here, but I love to picture these Bible studies. Ooh, would I have loved to have been at these Bible studies where Jesus is hanging out with people. That's where all the revelation was going on in Jesus's day. Not at the temple. That's where all the condemnation was going on. Jesus went to the temple when it was time to die, right? He wasn't telling the bigwigs in Jerusalem any truth. They did not have ears to hear. It's those, quote, nobodies at Mary and Martha and Lazarus's house, or with the throng following him down the road. That's where the spiritual revelation was in Jesus's day, and I believe that's where the vanguard is today. It is not, I repeat, not, I repeat, not, I repeat, not on the missionary field. It is not, I repeat, not in the Pentecostal churches. It's not with the Baptist, the preachers. No, it is at your coffee table. And here's Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, at the kitchen table with Mary and Martha. Now, at their going, he entered into a certain village. Now, a certain woman named Martha entertains him in her house. See, she's entertaining him. What else is she going to do but bring him coffee? Now, to her was also a sister called Mary, who, seated also at the Lord's feet, heard his word. Now, Martha was distracted about much serving. I'm drawing an analogy here between the Christian world that wants you to get involved. You gotta show up Sunday for the devil fest or whatever they have. You gotta be an usher. They need you to take the offering. They need you to lead the worship service. They need you to watch the Sunday school. They need you to babysit for the Lord. No, they're distracted about much serving. Now here, on to contrast with Martha, is Mary, who seated, very plainly stated, seated at the Lord's feet, heard his word. She appears not to be doing anything, and don't you think Martha noticed it? You bet she did. Now Martha was distracted about much serving. Here's looking what happens next in verse 40. Now standing by, she said, "Lord, Lord, art thou not caring that my sister left me to serve alone? Then speak to her that she may be aiding me." See, Martha has a problem here. She is assuming that her call is the highest call. Obviously, "Lord, I'm doing the right thing here by preparing this fine meal for you." And no doubt, we're thankful, Martha, that you are making the coffee. That's an important need. But there's one more important thing, and that's sitting at the Lord's feet and listening. So here, the missionaries today, they're assuming that this is the ultimate call, and those who are busy in Christian activity, this is the ultimate call, and we, my friends, are seated at the Lord's feet, learning, coming to a realization of the truth. Speak to her that she may be aiding me. Come, join us in the fight. Be a Christian soldier like us. Now, answering, the Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worrying and in a tumult about many things. Yet of few is their need, or of one. For Mary chooses the good part, which shall not be wrested from her. Now, we do need people to serve. I'm glad the missionaries are building huts and feeding and clothing people in third world countries. But I begin to read, of course, you know how I feel already about their message. Leave that to the experts, people who know what the evangel is. Go ahead and build the huts. They need it. Build the schools. But I have a problem when those in that field look at others who they don't think are working for the Lord enough and try to persuade them to come and join us. You should be doing this. You should be more active than you are. That's when I resent it. And in fact, that's when the Lord resented it. I don't think he was even going to bring this up to Martha until Martha thought that Mary should join her. He says to her, I'm paraphrasing now, Martha, I appreciate the coffee. It's delicious. Thanks for the sandwiches. Wasn't going to mention this, but since you brought it up, if you really want to know the truth, Mary is doing the greater work. And Martha must have looked over at the inert form of her sister and thought, what? But let's read again what she was doing. She was seated also at the Lord's feet, hearing his word. It's the vanguard sitting at his feet, not appearing to be doing anything. But how relaxing is this? What a great call is this? I admit it's a bit mentally taxing at times to work your way through the scriptures, to correctly cut, rightly divide the word of truth, to study, to show yourself approved. But it beats the heck out of laying in a hammock, getting eaten by mosquitoes, and eating beetle larvae. Woo! Ah, this is the better path. I know it's hard sometimes, but stick with it. If I can be of any service to you, then God be thanked. I pray for you as Paul prayed for the Philippians and the Colossians, that you grow in grace, grow in realization and recognition of him. Come to a greater spiritual understanding. For having the light, you will produce the fruit. I'm Martin Zender. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you. Have a good weekend.